This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Sunbury Motors, Brewers Outlet, Purdy Insurance, and NIL Game Changer. Today, we have Jerry Dulac at 2:35 to discuss the Steelers draft from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. That draft kicks off tomorrow. Thursday is the first round. I believe the second and the third rounds are Friday, and then the rest of the draft is Saturday. Steve talked to Neil Coulong a little bit yesterday about the draft, and Steve made the point that he thought six quarterbacks would be selected, and I saw that the over-under is 4.5 on quarterbacks selected in the first round. That always makes me laugh. I don't know how you get a half a quarterback, but... And I did see Dan Orlovsky say today that he agrees with Steve, he expects all six to go, and he has all six quarterbacks going before pick 16. So six quarterbacks in the first 15 picks of the draft would be pretty interesting. And I think we all know that Caleb Williams and Drake May have kind of been at the top of the quarterback chart, you know, for most of the last, you know, since last college season, and Jaden Daniels' Heisman Trophy winning season, and some of the getting a chance to see some of his film, I think he's kind of moved up to, you know, maybe two, take Drake May and him as 2A and 2B. I think people expect the Commanders to take Jalen Daniels, but I also don't think they'd be surprised if May went in that spot. But I think the interesting part is the other three guys is, you know, which would be J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix Jr., and Bo Nix. And I don't, you know, I came away from the semifinal with between Washington and Texas super impressed with Michael Penix and his accuracy and his ability to get the ball down the field and just the way he played. And of course, some of that was then tempered by the national championship game. But the more I think about that, there's a lot of quarterbacks in college that are struggling with that would have struggled with the Michigan defense, and you know, getting a chance to do a little draft prep work and reading Dane Brugler's giant draft preview on The Athletic, you go through that the defensive lists, and there's at least one Michigan guy, and sometimes two, on each level of the defense that is projected to go in the top seven rounds of the draft. So I think you can take that with a grain of salt. And I think that, you know, I'm surprised that teams are ranking, not surprised because I get it. You know, he's a winner. The NFL teams like what they see out of that. They, you know, the play action and the ability to get the ball down the field. I understand it. But I think he's more of an unknown just because it's, you know, Michigan never really had to put the game on his shoulders, really had to. You know, J.J. McCarthy never had to go win a game for Michigan. Didn't have to go win a game for them last year, except maybe for the semifinal. And don't get me wrong, he played great, and I think he's going to be a good NFL quarterback. I just wonder if teams are starting to overvalue the quarterback and pushing these bottom three guys up a lot higher than maybe they deserve to go.
But you can't overvalue the quarterback. You can't do that. But the problem is finding the right guy. Let's take a guy that's an absolute can't miss, and that was Trevor Lawrence, right?
Yes.
Trevor Lawrence to this point has been good to very good. He has not been great. And that's a big part of this. Good to very good, but has not been great. So let me give you an underrated stat when it comes to the world of quarterbacks. One thing I like to look for, and it's a very basic thing, what was the team's record when he was the starting quarterback? Now, you take that into account, boy, J.J. McCarthy looks great. We'll get to the next level of that in a moment. But in the past, very few quarterbacks in the NFL have succeeded and been winning quarterbacks when they had a losing record or a 500 record as a starter in college. A guy that has overcome that to a point who is a good to very good quarterback is Jared Goff. The draft, of course, taking place in Detroit. Goff, to his credit, has done well in Detroit, especially last year. He did help the Rams get to a Super Bowl, right? I said help. He was not the big reason why they got there. You know, and of course, in the Super Bowl, it was one of those tough days for him when they played against the Patriots. But if a guy doesn't have a winning record, and I realize there's a thousand things that go into it, okay? You may have had a great day, the running back fumbled four times. You may have had a great day and the defense stunk. You know, there's things that do go into it. But a lot of times you're there and have an opportunity to do something for your team. And Goff had a losing record, or Cal had a losing record when Goff was their starting quarterback. Daniel Jones, Duke was 19-17 with him as a starter. I mean, it's something that is overlooked, but it's something that is actually a fact when you look at quarterbacks that played for mediocre teams. And does their personal play translate into the league? More often than not, no. So that's something to look at. Now, in these guys here, all these guys, winning records, no issue there. Daniels is the Heisman Trophy winner. Williams is a Heisman Trophy winner. Drake May has received, I would think, more criticism than anybody else in this draft. And I think there's a reason for it. And the reason for it is he's put down a lot of tape in the course of his life. And he's done it at North Carolina. He could have left North Carolina in a big NIL deal. And Mac Brown complained openly about tampering with Drake May. May did not have a great game against Clemson, but you're going to have days where you're not going to have a great day. Right? May has... I mean, why is Brock Purdy the last pick in the draft 2 years ago? Why?
Didn't quite measure up, and he had a lot of tape, too.
He had 4 years of starting video. 4 years of it. So all his great moments at Iowa State are on display. And all of the warts are on display. Because there's so much of it to look at. As opposed to the limited tape people where you see that flashes and you're looking at the, quote, potential. You don't have to, okay, you're not looking at the potential of Brock Purdy. He is what he is. You've got 4 years of it, right? I mean, he is what he is. All right, as opposed to, you know, let's pick one, Mitch Trubisky, who had 1 year as a starter. So you saw all the potential, his ability to move, the big arm, things like that. But you don't have the ups and downs of a career to look at. You have a season to look at. And that's a difference. These guys, for the most part, have a lot of. Caleb Williams has a lot at Oklahoma, USC. Bo Nix, Auburn, and Oregon. Michael Penix, Washington and Indiana. And then there's J.J. McCarthy. To me, he is the biggest mystery in this draft. Name for me, in his three-year career at Michigan, which game where it was thrown on his shoulders that he won.
That was actually my point about him. I don't think Michigan ever had to rely on him to win.
I mean, which game? I mean, it's like you look around and go, okay, tell me which game where you're like, hey, JJ, you got to get it done here. Right? And I'm talking big games. I mean, some people have pointed to the TCU game, the semifinal game, and like, okay, you know, it's, if you say so. But that's not, they lost the game, and he made mistakes. He was part of the reason why they didn't win. It's also the last game as a quarterback at Michigan that he was part of a losing game. But he is a very good runner. He's a very good passer. He's considered to be an exceptional leader. But he is in the hall of collegiate very good. He's not in the hall of collegiate great. Now, does the hall of collegiate very good transition itself into NFL very good to great? Don't know. But you put him on a losing team, is he going to resurrect your program?
Those losing teams, how many of them have a line that was comparable to Michigan's this year?
Right. And he always benefited from, obviously, a terrific collegiate running game. It's an old-school football. How they played there was old-school football. No question about that. And so whenever he had to go play action, he'd go play action. And it was effective because they ran the ball well enough between Corum and Edwards and that offensive line and those tight ends. But which, again, point the game to me where he went, boy, thank goodness we had JJ today. I mean, you know, the Penn State game here didn't throw the ball in the second half. Right? Actually, they had fewer first downs than Penn State had in the game. You know, but when they needed to break a big run, Corum broke a big run, which was a big play in the game. McCarthy had a couple of runs on his own where he got out of the pocket. But in what way, shape, or form, except for not throwing an interception, where did he win the game here? Even the game out at Michigan the year before, he made a bad mistake and Curtis Jacobs ran it back for a touchdown. I don't. He's an interesting pick. Because he's going to get picked in the first round tomorrow. There's no question. But I don't see it.
I've seen him as high as maybe even 3.
There's a lot of people. Look, I bet this kid interviews really well. Like I said, very good runner. Very good passer. Exceptional leader. I didn't say he was an exceptional runner or an exceptional passer, but I did talk about his leadership of being exceptional. And people gravitate toward him. That's important. But being a very good collegiate passer and a very good collegiate runner does not translate into being a great NFL passer and a great NFL runner.
I kind of feel like we're at the point that this is, you know, whoever it's either super successful or a complete failure. I don't think there's going to be in the middle, in any in between with it.
I think there'll be an in between with it. I think he'll have a career and he'll be good. But that's what it's going to be. He'll be good. And I mean, look, you're talking about a guy this year who played 15 games. So what is the biggest plus that he has? Okay, besides the 15-0, which is a huge plus. He only threw 4 interceptions. Right? So he stayed away from the big mistake. But he wasn't put in a position to make the big mistake. Uh-oh, you got to throw it here. You got to... No. Right? He was not put in that position. That's a great position to be in. NFL quarterbacks, game in and game out, would love to be in that position. Well, they weren't put in that position. And Michigan, for the most part, was playing with the lead. And as I pointed out with the sign-stealing deal, the sign-stealing deal really comes into play in the first quarter of the game when you've got that stuff, because you can pick stuff up during the game. It's the first quarter where all that whatever shenanigans you were doing, that's where the payoff is, because you walk into the game with the signs instead of having to kind of figure it out as you go. And they play with the lead almost all the time. Almost all the time. Now, did he make the big mistake to give up the lead? No. Again, he only threw 4 interceptions, and I don't know if he fumbled at all this year. I don't think he did. So that's a big plus. But again, he has not been in that spot where you look at him, and again, this isn't like, hey, I'm just talking about him as a pure prospect. I think collegiately, he's in the hall of very good. And very good is, okay, is that a knock to be very good? No. Right? But to be a first-round pick and to now carry an entire program on your shoulders, which would be the NFL team you would be going to, I don't know if very good is good enough. How about that? To elevate the team to the spot they need to be. He could, you know, if he were in a position where he went to a very good, that a team is very good already, he'd be in a really terrific spot. But he's not going to go to that team based on what the draft looks like right now, correct? I mean, he would be going to a team that needs help.
Before you came on, Dan Orlovsky has all six quarterbacks going in the top 15.
I told what I say yesterday. I thought
six.
I thought all six would be in the first round. I didn't say 15, but yeah, all six in the first round.
That's just kind of amazing to me, because I just think that they're. I realize that you need a quarterback, but I just think they're pushing that bottom three up real high.
Penix, I really like, and Nix, I really like. I like them better than I do McCarthy. Now, Penix did not have a great national championship game against Michigan. He did not. But I like the way he handles himself. He doesn't move the same way he did as a freshman. Because that's one thing. I watched him move as a freshman against Penn State when they brought him off the bench. It was like, wow, he does a lot of things. And then in the game, he got hurt. That's where he hurt his knee the first time, was in that game. And then, to his credit, he fought his way back. And then the second time he got hurt, again, same major injury, was in Beaver Stadium when Penn State shut him out 24-0. But there's a lot of things about him I like. A lot of things I like about him.
I don't think he lost his speed, because I think he still ran a 4.340 in his pro day. I think his biggest issue is he doesn't move quite as well laterally as he did that before he hurt his knees.
Right, the lateral movement. And Bo Nix, I had heard a lot of things about Bo Nix before Penn State played Auburn. Oh, he doesn't. I heard a lot of he doesn't. Then I'm watching the Penn State game. And Penn State won the game. And I walked out of there thinking, you know, this guy's a good quarterback. I really, like, I watched him that night in Beaver Stadium. I'm like, that guy, he's, you know what? He's a good player. I don't understand what the complaints are about him. Then he went to Oregon and went from very good to outstanding.
I think his biggest thing at Auburn was he was just inconsistent, and I think that just the maturity of being when he got to Oregon is that that inconsistency kind of went out of his game.
Right. Yeah, I mean, look, he was put in a position at Auburn as the legacy. Everything. Oh, he's supposed to come in. And I remember the first game that they played against Oregon, he rallied them late against Oregon. And I remember doing the show, and it was like, oh, and I said, hey, look, I said, the only time he actually played well was the last drive, right, in the game, which is true. Right? He's just a kid, though. He was a true freshman in his first game. Okay. Well, I mean, now he's gone through 5 years. He's matured. And I give him a lot of credit for getting himself into this spot. We will take a break. Opening half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Here on News Radio 1070. WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Howdy. How are you? We have Jerry today at what time?
2:35.
Want to make sure. Today's show sponsored in part by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Visit NILGameChangers.org to start your journey. Transfer portal. The portal continues. Portal, by the way, closes May 1. Of course, we've been talking about the football portal. Let's quickly check the basketball portal. A couple of programs of the Big Ten have been hit hard. Wisconsin and Minnesota have been hit hard by the portal. Wisconsin losing Chucky Hepburn to it. Minnesota's got Pharrell Payne in it, among others. Now, they've been able to keep Dawson Garcia. That was big. But then they got a surprise yesterday when Elijah Hawkins, their point guard, went into the portal. It didn't take long for a long list of teams to say, hey, how about us? Among those early on, in the Big Ten, UCLA has been able to add four players. Sky Clark, who's now on his third team, I might add. He had been in Illinois. He played against Penn State at Illinois early in the season a year and a half ago. And then he ended up going to Louisville. Now he's at UCLA. They picked up Tyler Bilodeau from Oregon State. The big one to me is Kobe Johnson going from USC across the street to UCLA. And then Eric Daly from Oklahoma State. Then there's Indiana. They have decided, let's rebuild this sucker through the portal. I mean, they were good this year. They're going to lose Khalil Ware to the NBA draft, and justifiably. But they have picked up Miles Rice from Washington State, who was on the Pac-12 All-Freshman team. Umar Ballo from Arizona, really a big pickup. And Kenan Carlisle, who is transferring in as well after averaging 12 points and 3 boards a game last year at Stanford. And they were able to keep Mackenzie Mbako and Malik Renew around for another year. Michigan has done pretty well. I mean, we already know they've lost people because they lost Reed, Terrace Reed going to UConn, Doug McDaniel, not sure where he ended up, I don't know.
Kansas State.
Kansas State, yeah, which to me was not a loss. Reed's a loss, McDaniel was not a loss. But Dusty May had no choice but to go into the portal. So he gets Roddy Gale from Ohio State. He gets Danny Wolfe from Yale. It's a good pickup there. He gets Reuben Jones from North Texas, Trey Donaldson from Auburn, and then he gets Sam Walters from Alabama. Sticking with the Big Ten, Eric Musselman. It didn't take him long to hit the portal, and hit it hard. Now, they've already signed a top 50 recruit, but the other 7 are all transfers. He got Northern Colorado forward St. Thomas, University of San Diego, Bryce Pope, Clark Sager from Penn, Josh Cohen from UMass, who, by the way, began his career at St. Francis in Loretto, Rashawn Agee from Bowling Green, Matt Noling from Yale. All right. And they got Chibuzo Ago from Boise State. Watched him last year down at that tournament in Orlando. Good player. Matchup nightmare in a lot of ways. You knew that Musselman would go in and would hit the portal hard. You knew Dusty May would. You knew that Mike Woodson had no choice but to do it. And then UCLA's coming off a mixed bag season for them. So, yeah. Outside of the Big Ten, there's Kansas. They get A.J. Storr from Wisconsin, Riley Kugel from Florida, Zeke Mayo from South Dakota State. And by the way, Hunter Dickinson does have another year, as does DeJuan Harris. Not bad. Then there's Nebraska. Nebraska picked up Connor Essejian from Wisconsin. And, oh, who's the other one they picked up? They picked up one more from the Big Ten. I was literally just looking at it. But they did get Connor Essejian, who can shoot the ball defensively. It's something he has to work on his game defensively. They lost C.J. Wilcher to Texas A&M. They got Connor Essejian and who else?
Do you think he and Trev rode together?
The what?
Oh, he said he went to Texas A&M. I said, do you think he and Trev rode together?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Could have, no doubt. Let's see. Ding, 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 ding. Who'd they pick up here? Oh, Gavin Griffiths from Rutgers. That was the other one. So, I mean, Aaron Eulis, who went through, did not play at all last year because of off-the-court problems. Bryce Williams, really good player. They got Raleigh Worcester to transfer in. Asijan, Hoiberg, Jeffrey Grace, Gavin Griffiths, Cale Jacobson, Nick Jankowski's a freshman. And then they have Rink Mast has not said yet what he's going to do, but he would be a huge keep. Juwan Gary, Andrew Morgan, Henry Burt, then of course is sophomore, and Braden Frager, okay, as a forward. I mean, Tominaga's not coming back.
He was one of my favorite guys to watch this year.
Because Tominaga's a personality.
Oh, yeah, it's so he looks like he's having so much fun.
I mean, you know who loves him? Tommy Hovas loves him. Tom, the former Penn State player, 1,000-point scorer here, just a really terrific player in the 80s for Penn State, is the head coach for the Japan men's Olympic team. This is after being the head coach of the women's Olympic team and getting them to the gold medal game where they lost to the U.S. in Tokyo. So they moved him over to the men's side, and he thinks the world of Tominaga. So that's where they are. And then, of course, Penn State's added their four, including Freddie DeLeon from Tennessee, who just committed.
I saw while we were on break that one of the stars of the NCAA tournament from Oakland, Trey Townsend, is headed to Arizona as well.
Yeah, Trey Townsend was outstanding for Oakland. I'm not surprised that he transferred. Look, guys are looking. There are reasons to transfer. And a guy like him, he's looking to play in a Power 5 conference. Because basketball now is into the Power 5. There's no more Power 6. Okay? Because the Pac-12's gone.
He's also the type of guy that's probably going to make more money in a senior year at Arizona than he is pro-wise. Because he's a 6'5 post guy.
Right. He could. It's hard for me to sit there and talk about, like, any kind of NIL with anybody. Because, I can sit there and, and people will ask me about Penn State's NIL. Do I think it's in a better spot than it was? Yes. Is there ever enough? No. Because, again, it's something that has to be an every year thing. It can't just be, once. It has to be constantly replenished. But what the NIL situations are at other places, I could only guess. But for Penn State, they got really what they needed out of the transfer portal.
Have we heard, is Ace coming back? Has he made a decision yet?
We'll let Ace tell the world that.
All right.
Okay. So, this is where Penn State would be. They'd have four true freshmen on the team. Okay, Javon Carter, Miles Goodman, Dominic Stewart, and Hudson Ward. Okay. The sophomore class includes three guys that just transferred in. So, in other words, there's an exponentially better balance of classes on the roster. Kachi Enzi, Eli Rice, and Freddie DeLeon. Okay? Yannick Niederhauser is going into his third year. Nick Kern, Zach Hicks, DeMarco Dunn, fourth year. And then, of course, the world-famous bonus year, Puff Johnson and Ace Baldwin. Okay? And until I hear differently, I'm putting Ace in the category of being on the team. Until I hear differently. How about that? All right.
Seems fair.
Yeah. So. So. All I know is that every time you turn around, well, okay, maybe I know more than I'm letting on here. But when they went down to visit the congressional delegation in Washington, who went? This is last week.
I was going to say I didn't see, so.
Puff Johnson and Ace Baldwin.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
All signs point to.
Right. I mean, now look, I made that trip once. And it's interesting. I mean, it's like, you know, you go around in the back office area, and I sat down in individual offices with different members of Congress, all really nice people. I mean, you know, they were nice to me. All right. And, you know, this is a few years ago. And then later on, I then spoke to them, plus other people in Congress. Oh, God, did they love the suit stories. Oh, and it didn't matter. There was one guy from Texas, knew all about him, asked if he was making the trip. He said, no. No. Right? You should have seen the relief in the room. No?
I'm sure there was.
Oh, good. First question I got, he's not here, is he? No. I said, no. And so it's always an interesting trip. I mean, it always is. And, yeah. It was kind of fun that, you know, because it was organized by Old Main. I said, oh, yeah, sure, I'll go down. What the heck? You know? Had to cancel class to do it, and I thought that was good.
I'm sure your class urged you to go as well.
No, they were like, get out of here. Go. You know what we did today? Today was the last day of class. You know what we did today? Mock NFL draft.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Hey, that's a fun class to be in, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's do a mock NFL draft.
Caleb Williams went one.
Caleb Williams went one. The consensus number two was Jaden Daniels.
Ooh.
Going to Washington. And then Drake May was three.
I guess to continue the theme, where did J.J. McCarthy end up?
They had, well, see, we didn't do trades. I think they had him with the Giants.
Oh.
Because they had, you know, because we didn't. Oh, I know. We actually did do a trade. We had the Vikings trading up to get him.
Now, see, that wouldn't be too bad for him. I kind of like that spot for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got Justin Jefferson, a decent offensive line, an okay running game. That would be an all right spot for one of those rookies to end up at.
That'd be fine. That'd be fine. You know, I think that'd be fine. I think that would be a big boost. Yeah.
I mean, if I'm a Minnesota fan, I'm not excited that right now we're rolling with Sam Darnold.
Yeah. Well, Darnold signed when I was in Minneapolis for the Big Ten tournament, and we were going over to get dinner downtown because the hotel was right next to U.S. Bank Stadium, right? So we were going over to downtown to Murray's to get dinner. And I said, they signed Sam Darnold. I said, look at that line for season tickets. And it was empty. It's like, okay.
You didn't have to wait for the parade?
No, there was no parade. So, you know, yeah. Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah. And, yeah, that was the deal. Oh, good. There's a freeze warning tonight.
Come on. It's the end of April. Why are we having a freeze warning? Right? I thought Al Gore said that we're all boiling to death.
It's supposed to be, I think the high is 58 Sunday and 80 on Monday, so yeah. It's going to get warmer.
Yeah. I mean, please. I'm out playing golf yesterday after the show, and you know, and I had a great time. I mean, I had a great time. Right? But I remember at one point I was out there, I said, geez, I am getting sick and tired of battling the wind. Right? Now, there are moments where it paid off. I'll give you one. I'll give you one where it paid off and one where it didn't. I was on a par five, and it's a dog leg, and I hit a big drive. Wind carried it. I hit a big second shot. The wind carried it. I was in the greenside bunker in two. Okay? Well, I had to come out of the bunker, and then I got within 4 feet, and I blew the birdie putt. I mean, pure and simple. I slid it left. I tapped and got a par. But then I went to a par three that I usually hit 6 iron on, and I hit a 4 iron, and I hit it with everything I had. And it was just short to the left. I mean, I hit it with everything I had. Like, here we go. It's like, no. Oh. Like, damn. Doggone. So the wind giveth, the wind taketh away.
That's usually how it works.
I know. Yeah. So, oh well. All right, we'll take a break. It's half hour brought to you by NILGameChangers.org here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could chop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
A power. The Suits mock draft has 7 Bucknell players in the second round.
I don't even think Doug's mock draft has 7 Bucknell players in the second round.
Okay, well, Doug's a pro. I just think it was like sometimes I think the suit does stuff with his heart. How about that? How about that? I think that's fair.
That's fair.
The heart winning out over the mind. But then again, as they say, a mind is a terrible thing to waste.